question, Larry. You said the Southern Utah game was kind of eye-opening. How would you describe this one?
Well, I mean, you know, not what I really expected, I guess. You know, there's a lot of points scored between those two teams. Last year, I think it was, what, 53-49?
Right.
So that kind of the tale of two games. But it was physical all the way through the ball game. There's no doubt about that. Had a couple different stretches, I thought, where, you know, they made a bunch of threes. That's not typical necessarily San Diego State, or at least what our scouting report was in the first half. I thought it was a combination of them cleaning up a few second shots and hitting some threes. That was the tail of the tape. And then I think a little of the isolation basketball late where they put their heads down and got to the free throw line and put some heat on us that way and again had some guys hitting threes. So, you know, real competitive. That's a good team. And the two things that we talked about was limiting our turnovers. And for us to have nine turnovers against that team, I thought was a real positive. And then we didn't get hurt too badly on the offensive glass. I mean, we were even with them rebounding, and certainly we would take that. So those were the two things that I thought were a difference in the ball game.
And you kind of weathered, I think, 4 minutes, 19 seconds in the first half, 5 minutes second half. You had a couple scoring droughts, but you were able to weather those.
Well, that's what I talked to the team about after the game. You know, that's important for us to start identifying. You know, we were up nine, and then we were down two all of a sudden. So those kind of swings, we need to figure out a way to extinguish, put an end to them, and you know, we'll take a look at what we need to do to improve that. But that's a big key in basketball, I think, is when you have a little lead, you need to put your, you know, foot on the pedal and keep it going. And there were a number of those, I think three or four major swings throughout the course of the game that we need to certainly improve.
How you feel about all your starters in double digits? Obviously maybe not so much bench help, but sort of an even scoring load between them.
Well, that's I'm really pleased with that. You know, I've always been a fan of getting a team that has four, five, six guys flirting with double figures. You know, if we could make a habit of that, I think it would be terrific. You don't necessarily, I think from an offensive point of view, it's great to have some different weapons, and it's really hard to have somebody at the top of that scouting report that's always the head of the snake that, you know, you got to shut down. And I think we do have some pretty good offensive firepower, really. You know, Jakob in the post, and Kuzma does a nice job down there, and have some shooters around the floor and some different guys that can hurt you. So we need to get better, clean up some of our execution and timing, which is going to come. But, you know, our identity and how much success we have on the season is going to have a lot to do with how we defend. And we've got to make some pretty marked improvements with our defensive effort. But I'd love to be able to, you know, have multiple guys in double figures on a nightly basis. I think that would be great.
It's only the second game, but you only had 7 bench points tonight. It wasn't until Prakat kind of went off at the end of the game. Is that concerning at this point?
No, I think different guys are going to have opportunities. You know, we're going into a situation in Puerto Rico where we'll play 3 games in 4 nights. Actually, counting this game, it's an NBA schedule. We'll play 4 games in 6 nights if you count, well, Monday, and then our last one is Sunday. So theoretically, is that a week or 6 nights? But it's quite a trip in between, some frequent flyer miles along the way, and we're going to need everybody. Our guys know that there's some weapons you know, that didn't get much of an opportunity to play, and where you get Chris back, getting his rhythm, I think, off an injury, and Kenneth is going to start participating in some stuff. So today was the first day that we had 16 guys that were cleared for practice, and it was a shoot around. But you know, we need to go to Puerto Rico, and we'll be counting on a bunch of guys for some firepower. The most important thing is that nobody loses their confidence. You know, and I'm looking at our team in the locker room, everybody's in it together, and there weren't any down faces or anything like that. They know they're going to have a time to shine.
Jakob was able to sit for quite a few minutes in that second half. How encouraging was it that your team was still able to kind of keep consistent, keep the lead, stay up with San Diego State?
Well, it was important. I mean, we executed some nice offensive plays, hit some big shots while he was on the bench. You know, there's no doubt about it that it's a key to whether you win the game or not. You know, we could be in here talking about how things got out of hand without him. But again, it's a collective. That's what's great about this game. I think it's collective efforts by a bunch of guys, and we just need to figure out how to maybe tie some of those guys together and be a little bit more efficient with it.
And in the second half, you were 20-22 from the foul line as the team. And how encouraged were you with how the team handled those situations, especially since some of them were like right at the end of the game?
Well, I think that the real stat was, I think 12 out of our last 13 went in. And when you're getting fouled and you're trying to protect the lead, that's when it's, you know, that's when the popcorn's popping. That's when you better be able to step up and knock them down. Kuzma missed four and Jakob missed four, if I'm not mistaken, and that pretty much, that was the majority, the lion's share of our misses. And so 75% I'll take from the line, you know, but you add them all up at the end, the ones at the first half are just as important. And it was good, at least we got a little feel for what they're like to go in at the end. Jakob hit some big ones, and Jordan obviously hit all of his. So free throws are a big factor in a game, especially with the, you know, the points of emphasis of the referees calling some fouls, and if you're trying to protect a lead, you know it's going to be physical.
With these new rules about the physicality of the play, the vertical space and stuff, and they, you know, they talk about having more fouls, does that, I mean, how hard is that to coach in a game like that when the last little bit of the game is, you know, whistle this, whistle that?
Well, it actually, to be honest with you, it hasn't been as bad as I thought. 2 years ago was a disaster. You know, that was the entire preseason was really out of whack in terms of how guys were playing, and then when we hit league play, it kind of cleaned up again and got back to normal. So it's challenging for the referees to be able to determine what their, you know, what their orders are and how they're gonna interpret a game. I've always said that, you know, I've been a big advocate of adding a sixth foul. I just don't understand it. To me, it's very counterintuitive to say we're going to call it closer, but yet you got five fouls. I mean, what other sport is there on the planet that you have people sit down if you can get two accidentally, you know, stumble into a guy, boom, and all of a sudden you got, and I don't care if it's our guys or the other team. I don't think anybody comes to a game to watch really good players sit on the bench. So to me, sure, clean it up, call it a lot closer, but I don't know, you know, it's like a red card in soccer. You know, you give a guy a red card because he had too many fouls. I don't think that's the essence of basketball, so I'd like to see that change a little bit.
How did you feel about, some besides the free throws, some of the other late game situations? Obviously, San Diego State was able to score a little bit, and then Lorenzo fouled at the end. That maybe was a bit of a mistake.
Lorenzo fouled at the end.
The three-point attempt that brought...
Yeah.
How'd you feel if those guys maybe handled some of those situations?
Well, not the best. I mean, you don't want to foul a three-point shooter. We managed to get the ball inbounds. I mean, San Diego State, their MO is not shooting threes. So we were expecting them to try to dribble drive and get the ball on top of the rim. So for, you know, for us to not be there necessarily and have some guys that haven't traditionally shot the three well and hit a three, it didn't work out well for us, but that doesn't change our game plan a whole lot. I mean, we handled the press, we made free throws. There were more positive things about how we closed out the game than there were negative.
One of those things, you know, your starting five scored your first 59 points, but then Bricott kind of came alive. He had 7 points down the stretch, hit four free throws. Can you describe the impact that he had on the end of the game?
Well, it was huge. Yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. For him to come off the bench and keep stride with the free throws was a big play. That three hit in the corner. You know, Bricott's had a tough road of it here. You know, losing his grandfather, it was a shame what happened here a couple months back and rocked his world a little bit. And he's got basketball to rely on, and he's got a great family, and he's got a bunch of great teammates, and it hasn't been an easy time for him. So I feel, you know, really good for him that he's engaged and a part of this thing. It's hasn't been an easy few weeks.
Jakob had 12 first half rebounds and wasn't really a factor on the glass in the second half. Did anything change? Did you sense him?
Well, he was on the bench for about 8 minutes with the third foul. We didn't want to get him in foul trouble, so certainly that changed. You know, taken out of the game a little bit that way, but I don't think his focus changed at all about going and getting some. He didn't want to hog them all, apparently. Wouldn't want to get 20 rebounds in a game, would you?
That first half, he kind of had a lot of post moves, was pump faking guys to the air.
Yeah, he did a nice job.
Do you feel like that's the thing that's maybe a little different about his game this year?
There's no doubt. It's been a concerted effort with him slowing down and relying on some power moves, and it's simple moves, his jump hook and a counter. Had a couple of great moves where he got guys lifted. He's not afraid to be fouled now. I think that's maybe what's happened in the past, is he's always taken some quick off-balance shots, relied on his quickness, and then, number one, he's never been in a position to get it if he missed, and he's never going to get fouled. And so now I think the combination of slowing down, being more of a power player, he's gained 30 pounds. He's a load in there, and teams are going to have to, we'd like teams to have to determine whether or not they're going to double and how they're going to deal with him. And it really starts with his production in a one-on-one situation. They didn't double him the first play, and we expected them to do that. So he went to work and did a nice job.
Defensively, have you guys made more of an effort to make him more of a rebounder rather than contesting every shot?
Well, it's a fine line. I mean, there's guys at the end of last year that everybody was trying to jump into him. And so if you're in the mindset that you're trying to go contest shots, sometimes you put yourself in harm's way. That was a number of his fouls a year ago. So doing a lot of coaching with him staying vertical and jumping and, even retreating so that there's no forward contact that he's making, but people are going to have to come to him. So, it's a work in progress, but it's been something we've talked about.
Jordan seems to be a little more assertive and aggressive this year. Is that because maybe the senior role, or you just seeing a different game coming from him?
Well, we've played two games. I love the fact that he's been dang near career nights. I think his last game was a career night. He's shooting the ball really well. I'm not surprised. The kid works his tail off and puts as much time in the off season, and it's important to him. But it has been every year. I just think hopefully it continues, and hopefully this is what happens when a senior has paid a lot of dues and played a lot of minutes. And I think there's a basketball, well, I know there's a God, but I think there's basketball God that, call it karma, whatever you're doing, but he puts a lot of time in when nobody's watching, and you like to see him have success in a situation like this.
Did you sense maybe Brandon hitting that shot before the halftime just sort of got a monkey off his back and maybe?
Yeah. See, you're bringing up plays I didn't even remember. Your instant replay guy here, but that was, just forget Brandon. That was a big boost for us coming into the halftime, getting a little bit of swagger back and feeling good about shooting the ball.
Any more questions?
Thanks, guys. Gals. Peoples. See y'all later.